Birmingham this afternoon for a short while to bring the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to you. Anybody in the city this afternoon like a copy of God's Word, the New Testament of the Bible, offered to you quite freely? Without cost or obligation to you. You would like a copy of God's Word to meditate upon and see perhaps maybe what God the Lord would say to you. Maybe He will speak peace to your soul, salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. This is the testimony, God's record concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Does not matter where you go in the Bible, you will find Jesus Christ. He is to be found in all the Scriptures, in all the Holy Bible. That is not what book you go to. Genesis, Exodus, Revelation, Matthew's Gospel. Wherever you go in the Bible, Jesus Christ is to be found. These are they, He says, that testify of Me. God's testimony, God's own record concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. So if you seek for Him, as God commands you to do, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. That's the commandment of the Lord. His commandment is that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you might be saved. So, my friends, go to God's Word if you will. You don't have to take my word, my colleague's word, for these things. Search the Bible, my friends, and look for, and don't be satisfied until you find Jesus Christ, until you find the love of God in Jesus Christ, sent into the world, that through Him that you might be reconciled to God. For that, my friends, is your greatest and deepest need today. May I suggest to you, here you are walking in God's world, breathing His air, eating His food, drinking His water, and at enmity against Him, at war with Him, in your hostile mind. And my friends, in need of peace with God, and in need of the peace of God, that alone can be found through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the Bible, we have what's called the Book of Psalms, written by King David. And King David, he speaks there about Jesus Christ, don't you know? Hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born into this world. And he speaks of Him and what He will do when He comes and why He will do it. And David, of course, realizing, knowing that he himself was conceived in sin, born in sin, a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. But he speaks of it, he declares his own righteousness, but a righteousness not in and of himself, but obtained through his greater Son, through Jesus Christ. The one who had come, and the one who has now come and died and rose again from the dead, in order that you might obtain a righteousness not of yourself, but the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. So my friends, this is Jesus. King David, just like John the Baptist, he points to Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. must go. But my friends, he speaks. He speaks of all that God does. As for God, he says, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. As for God, he is perfect. Not you, not I. None of us perfect. You might claim, you might say that you're a good person. You might even believe that with all your heart. I'm a good person, you say. I don't need your gospel. I don't need to be saved. I'm okay, you say. But my friends, nothing could be further from the truth. You're not just not perfect. Oh, nobody's perfect, you say. Oh yes, God is perfect. Perfect in all his ways. But my dear friends, far, far from perfect, the very opposite. Conceived in sin, says God. Born in sin. You come into the world shapen. You come into the world formed in iniquity, in lawlessness, my friends. And the truth of the matter is, far, far away from God, separated from God by, separated from his perfection, in righteousness, in love, in grace, in kindness, separated from God by your iniquities, by your lawless deeds. And in need, my friends, of being reconciled to God and brought to his perfect salvation. The ways of God are perfect, my friends. His dealings with men. Oh, we go about complaining, I know. But my friends, he doesn't deal with us. He doesn't deal with us, you know, in the worst that he possibly could. I mean, here you are, living and breathing. Here you are with the opportunity of hearing the gospel once again, of hearing of the immensity and the vastness of God's love and how he would be reconciled to you. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he would be reconciled to you today. So my friends, his dealings with men, his dealings with you, they're not as bad as he could possibly be. I mean, think of all the people, the many people who have recently been removed from this world in a moment, without notice, without any warning. Thousands have been taken by COVID-19. What about the thousands in the city of Beirut in Lebanon? My friends, hundreds of people blown into a lost eternity with no warning. No warning at all, my friends. Like a puff of smoke gone out of this world and before the throne of God's judgment. What if that had been you? What if you had been in the city of Beirut? What if the COVID-19 had taken you, my friends? Where would you be today? You would be in eternity, but where? In heaven with God? Or in hell with the devil and his angels? Because there's only those two destinations, one or the other. So you see, my friends, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, says Jesus. Speaking about a tragedy, speaking about a crisis that took human life, his disciples asked the question, were those men, were they greater sinners than others? What about those taken by COVID-19? Were they worse sinners than others? What about those killed in the city of Beirut? Were they worse sinners than others? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The day is coming, my friends, when you're going to be one way or another, you're going to remove from this world. Maybe quickly, maybe without warning. God, like a puff of smoke, poured out like water on the ground, never to be retrieved. So you see, my friends, there's urgency, great urgency in the matter. You need to be born again. You need to be brought to repentance. You need to be brought to faith. You need to be brought to that place of tasting the bitterness of your sin. Tasting it, my friends. Tasting the bitterness until, my friends, you're willing and ready to abandon it, to forsake it, and turn to Jesus Christ, who alone, the sweet, sweet Lord Jesus Christ, who can give you, grant you His sweet forgiveness. But that there is forgiveness with God, my friends. You see, He does it. His ways are perfect. On that day of judgment, when you stand before God, my friends, you won't argue then. You won't say, well, you weren't fair with me, God. Your ways weren't fair with me. Here you are today, my friends. You're hearing the gospel of God's salvation. And the possibility by God's grace of being saved, brought into the kingdom of God in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. God's ways are perfect. Perfect in all His actions. Everything that God does, my friends, is perfect. His work of creation, His work of providence, His work of redemption. He doesn't save everybody. Not everybody head for head. Only those whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. But my friends, everything God does, He does to us a perfection. Everything He does well. As for God, His ways are perfect. His direction, His counsel, the counsel that He gives you in His word is perfect. He's given you a perfect book, my friends. The only perfect book in the world. The book of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. And in it you have the counsel of God. You have God's directions, my friends, to Himself. You have His counsel that would counsel you, that would direct you, that would instruct you, and that would bring you back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Sent into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law, under the curse of the law, under the condemnation of the law. His perfect counsel, a perfect word, my friends, from God, that is able, I tell you, to bring you to salvation and to make you wise unto salvation. Not the wisdom of this world, not the wisdom of this age, not the wisdom of the Dawkins and the Darwin. My friends, the wisdom of God that leads to salvation, that leads to forgiveness, that leads to reconciliation, that leads, my friends, to a right and proper relationship with God, with the Almighty. As for God, His ways are perfect. His counsel, His directions, my friends, His promises are perfect. Perfectly framed and suited, my friends. And promises that never, never fail. Promises to sinners, the vilest of sinners, I tell you, the worst of them. The drug addict and the drunkard, the immoral man or woman, my friends, the worst of sinners, the truly vile, the vilest, who truly believes, who lays hold upon God's promise of salvation, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Promises, my friends, perfectly suited to you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the promise. If you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. Salvation, my friends, is the promise of God's word. It's what His word is given for. It's what the Bible's given for. It's a promise from God that if you believe,
only believe, says Jesus.
Read if you will. Read if you will the many, many people who come to Jesus with all kinds of problems of evil, family problems, all kinds of human difficulties. And the counsel, the direction given to them every time is the same. Only believe. Only believe. Trust in God. Faith, my friends. Faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The man comes to Jesus with a son who's full of evil and asks him, can you help us? If you can do anything, help us, he says. And Jesus answers him. He says, in effect, he says, what do you mean, can I help you? Can you believe? Can you believe? That's the issue, my friends. Can you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son? God manifest in the flesh. God Himself had to come down. No other good enough. Nobody else could unlock the gates of heaven and let a sinner like you or I go in. Jesus, His counsel, His promise, believe, only believe, and you shall be saved. As for God, His ways are perfect. His commandments are perfect, my friends. But a burden grievous to the natural man. Hateful, my friends. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God says, thou shalt not kill. God says, thou shalt not steal. But these commandments are burdensome. They're grievous to the natural man. Why? Because you've got a natural, born state in sin. You've got a sinful nature that hates God and hates the commandments of God. But there's nothing wrong with the commandments of God. They condemn you. They condemn me. I read the commandments of God, and every time I read them, I'm convicted. I've not kept them perfectly, even as a believer. But how much more you? You read those commandments, my friends, and every one of them condemns you, pronounces the death sentence on you. That's what the commandments were given for. They're perfect. As for God, His ways are perfect, and His commandments are perfect. They're holy, they're righteous, and they're good. But the reason why we don't like them, the reason why you don't like them, the reason why they're despicable and grievous to you is because you're not righteous, is because you're not holy, is because you're not right with God. But those commandments were given for a perfect reason, a perfect purpose, to convict you and bring you to that place of acknowledging your sin, of repenting of your sin, turning, abandoning your sin, and flying into the arms of Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only one who can deliver you from that sinful nature. And my friends, from that hostility to your Maker. So my friends, as for God, His ways are perfect, my friends. His word is pure. His word is without vice, without vanity, without deceit. You can trust, my friends, in what God says and speaks to you. Salvation, my friends, today, God speaks about King David. He speaks about the word of the Lord is tried. The word of God, my friends, has been tried and tested in every generation. Men and women have tried it. Men and women have put it to the test. And might I suggest to you today, should you but repent, should you do what God tells you to do? His mother Mary said to some
to do, do it. I couldn't give you better advice, my friends. Do what Jesus tells you to do, and you will find salvation. He tells you to repent, repent. Tells you to believe on His name, believe. The Word of God, my friends, has been tried by all kinds of sinners, all kinds of skeptics, my friends. Even atheists have been turned around. They have put God's Word to the test, and they have found it to be just as God says it is. His pure Word that brings salvation to those who put their trust in it. Faithful promises, my friends. Many have tried it, and the testimony of God is that not a single word, not a word of all that He has spoken, ever spoken, shall fail. Trustworthy, my friends. Not like the words of men, not like my words, not like the words of your politicians, not like the words of your philosophers. My friends, the Word of God is trustworthy and true. The Word of God to be believed upon for salvation. David goes on to speak about He is a buckler to those that trust in Him. A shield, if you like. A protection, my friends. The Bible poses the question, if God be for you, who can be against you? But if God's against you, my friends, what or who have you got going for you? Absolutely nothing. But if God is on your side, if you've got God for your protection, I tell you, nothing. Not any virus. Not any virus. Not any mighty explosion. My friends, the worst that your enemies can do is to send you into the glory of heaven to be with God forever. Protection, my friends. A buckler, a shield, a defense against the worst enemy of your soul, your own sinful heart, nature, and condition. That, my friends, is your worst enemy, your sin, that you need to be saved from. Your sin nature in which you were conceived, in which you were born. And all the religion in the world won't take that out of you. All the religion in the world won't make you better. Religion, my friends, legalistic religion, doing a doing. You're doing what some religious institution tells you to do. That doesn't take the lust out of your heart. That doesn't take the hatred out of your heart. That doesn't reconcile you to God. That doesn't pay the price for your sin. My friends, only one who did that, Jesus, Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them, who stepped down into this world, my friends, from heaven's glory, in order that you might be reconciled to God, in order that you might be forgiven, that you might know the sweet, sweet forgiveness, the loving kindness of the Lord. In order, my friends, that you might be brought to your right mind and found sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and learning of Him. Learning what it means to repent. Learning what it means to truly believe. Learning what it means to live for God. That's what you are made for, created for. For God's glory, my friends. And if you're not doing that, if you're not achieving that, it doesn't matter what else you've achieved. My friends, you're not achieving your potential. You're not achieving the very purpose for which you were made. For which you're on this planet. To glorify God and to enjoy Him. Now, in this world, and then for all eternity. But in order to do that, you must first come to know Him. Eternal life, my friends, is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, whom He sent. That's eternal life. life. But my friends, the Bible tells me, God's Word assures me, that Jesus Christ is coming again with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon guess who? Those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel. It's your disobedience to the gospel, your failure to obey the gospel call, that keeps you from the knowledge of God, keeps you from eternal life. So what is the gospel call? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says Jesus, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the way in, my friends. That's the only way to gain entrance to the kingdom of God, to the knowledge of God, to the righteousness of God, the gift of God, the salvation of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Unless you repent, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish in your sin. But whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent and believe. Repent and believe, Birmingham. Repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand, so close to you, my friend. You don't have to travel far. You don't have to be in a religious building. You don't have to be in a religious setting. My friends, look into yourself, your very own being. In God you live and move and have your being. He's not far from you. A breath away, my friends. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall not be disappointed, shall not be put to shame, shall not be condemned. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Salvation, my friends, for the taking, for the receiving. Take Jesus. To those who received Him, to those who believed on His name, He gave the right, He gave the power, He gave the authority to become children of God, as opposed to the children of wrath that we are by nature, natural born sinners, and so in need of being reborn. That's what Jesus says. You must be born again. You must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you. You must be born again. The life of God in your soul. The love of God in your heart. And my friends, repentance and faith towards the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. How you doing, sir? Have a good day? Good. You a Christian, sir? You a Christian? No? Can I ask why not? Sorry, could you come back closer? Sorry. Say again.
What's the difference from being a Christian, from being a Muslim? What's the difference? I think they're both the same.
Well, the difference really is, I think, is that one is religion. I say that Islamic faith, all due respect, you know, no disrespect, but the Islamic faith is a religion. Whereas what I'm talking about, Christianity, and I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, yeah? I'm not talking about denominations, I'm talking about the gospel.
The gospel is about a person, not a religion. That's the difference. A religion is a man-made structure. It's a man-made institution. Roman Catholicism is the same. Yeah, it's a man-made structure. Whereas the gospel is about a person. It's about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who stepped down into this world, became a man. Yeah, God. Yeah. But you gotta believe it. God manifest, revealed in the flesh. The Bible says. Yeah, truly, the centurion who had him crucified said, looked up and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Yeah. Under the cross, he had just nailed Jesus to the cross, and the revelation was given to him from God. Truly, this was the Son of God. More than a prophet, sir. More than a prophet. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And those who believe on him. Now here's the thing I would suggest to you that religion can't do for you, right? Religion can't take the lust out of your heart. Can't take the uncleanness, can't take the hatred out of a man's heart. Yeah? Only the gospel can do that. Oh, cancer. I know. I can.
I see Christians and they got lust in their heart. Black Christians. I see this is homosexuality.
Yeah, okay. It's rife. It's rife. In churches, in mosques, in synagogues, it's rife everywhere. Let me tell you, can I just show you what the Bible says about that? Yeah? The Bible condemns it, right? So anybody who says to me, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm a sodomite, I'm a homosexual, and I'm quite happy with it, yeah? I would say to that person, no, I'm sorry, you've either misunderstood or you're deluded, yeah? Because you cannot be a homosexual and be a Christian and be happy with it. Let me read for you, listen. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Now the effeminate, that's boys who give themselves to men for toys. Right? Okay? Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's homosexuals, male and female. Right? They cannot enter the kingdom of God. They might say that they're Christians, claim to be Christians, but they're not. I'm sorry, sir, they're not. They're deluded. Yeah? Now listen, come here. Hey, come here, let me finish. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. And such, he's writing to Christians, right? He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all those things, but they were saved from that. Jesus saves sodomites. Jesus saves fornicators. He saves thieves. Yeah? But he saves them from it. Not in it. He saves us from our sins. He takes the sin away. Yeah? You cannot say, it does not, you know, it says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He takes the sin away, doesn't leave us with it. So anybody who claims to be a Christian, yeah, and says that they're happy living in their sin, I don't care who it is, yeah, they're not Christian. They've not been born again. They've not been given a new nature. Jesus takes that out of a man when he repents and believes the gospel. He takes the sin away. And you must not misunderstand. Roman Catholicism is not Christianity. It's not Christianity. I'm having a personal conversation. Excuse me, sir. I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody. to somebody personally.
Nah, you
know. Get on your bike. See what I mean? They're cursing and swearing, you see? And they're trying to be religious. What good is his religion to him? It doesn't take the cursing and swearing away. What good is that? Is that pleasing to God? Is a man full of hatred? A man full of lust? A man full of homosexuality? Is that pleasing to God? God says it's an abomination. God hates it. Do not do this thing that I hate, he says. You come to Jesus, sir. He take your sin away. He came to save us from our sin. He died on the cross to save us from our sin. He paid the price for sin. He loved a sinner like you so much. Love, that's what the gospel's about, sir. Love, not hatred, not religion, and not religious hatred. Jesus loved sinners and died for them so that they could be saved from their sin, not in their sin. Yeah? You come from the sin. You come to Jesus and you acknowledge your sin. You come to him a sinner. You say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I've been a sinner from birth. I'm a sinner now. My heart is full of sin. Save me, Lord Jesus. In your loving kindness, in your mercy, save me from my sin. Take it away. He's called, in the Bible, he's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he takes away the sin of those who put their trust in him. Believe on Jesus Christ, sir, and you shall be saved.
You got more than one Jesus Christ?
No, there's only one, sir. There's only one real one.
No.
Only one real one.
There's more than one Jesus Christ.
Nah, only one. Only one, sir. Only one. You got a Bible?
I've read the Bible.
You read it? Okay, have you got one? Can I give you a John's Gospel to read? Would you read it?
Yes, John's Gospel, no. Bible from Genesis to Revelation.
A whole Bible? You want a whole Bible? I'll give you a whole Bible. You promise me? Before God, you promise me you'll read it?
I do.
Huh? You do your best, okay. That's probably more honest. That's probably more honest.